We're even thankful to have our sister with us this morning, that she's allowed to play for us. And even though her hands are a little cold from playing the piano, I'm sure, this morning. And, well, I imagine so. Yeah, absolutely. But to those that maybe have their internal temperature is a little warmer, and they usually think that on a given Sunday that it's a little warm in here. Well, now you have your wish. It's a little cooler in here. And we definitely don't need to have the fan going to cool the projector. But I do have some things have been placed upon my heart, and I ask an interest in your prayers. We look at the foundation, you know, of our faith. And the very root of our belief, and what does it take? The very fiber of our being, the very of our makeup, of our mind, of our ability to think. I think a famous man once said, "I think, therefore I am." And we're able to process information and our thoughts and all those things. And it's something that I want to talk about, because if we, at the very root of our faith, that our thoughts govern who and what we are. And this, you know, I was thinking of the Lord's, you know, Beatitudes. And one of the statements that He made was, "Blessed are the pure in heart." And I'm going to ask you a question. We've heard it many times. Blessed are the pure in heart. What is the rest of that verse? For they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in the heart. And so we want to know, you know, what does that take? It's a whole lot. But to be pure in heart. And so the Lord also talked about that too. In His scriptures. What is in the heart of man? Our scriptures this morning are mainly out of the Bible. And it's just the ones that had come to me are out of the Bible. And but anyway, for they shall see God. Do we want to see God? Absolutely. You know, and Jesus definitely talked about that. Blessed are the pure in the heart. We want to be blessed. We want to be part of that being pure in the heart attitude. As followers of Jesus Christ, we're trying to have the mind of Christ. That's what we want to attain to. He says, be ye therefore as I am. So we're constantly trying to learn what that is. You know, He told us Himself in Malachi that He stands as a purifier and refiner. And we are being purified and refined. That's what we want. We want to be one of the blessed. We don't want to be those that God turns His face on because of, you know, iniquity. So we want to be the pure in heart. So we're trying to learn what that is. The pure in heart are prepared in their minds to love and worship the Father. They're prepared in their minds. Their minds are set apart. And they want to dwell on wonderful things, righteous things, peaceful things, powerful things. And so they are prepared in their minds to love and worship the Father. Now when Jesus had talked to a lady at the well of Jacob, and He told her that the time is now, that the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, because she said she worshipped God at Jerusalem, which, you know, go to the temple, you know, and perform whatever rituals there in order to go through the priest and to be forgiven and so on and so forth. And Jesus said the time now is that the true worshipper shall worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so, if you're worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, then God knows our heart. He knows our thoughts. And our thoughts also lead to what we will do. This takes devotion to our way of thinking and obedience to His commandments. You know, and so we're looking into that. We're looking at the core of our belief. We're looking at the core which helps us to operate as God's children, to be able to perform our daily lives, to be able to do our tasks, go where we go, to operate a vehicle, to perform our daily work, to be able to think and reason. But this takes devotion of our way of thinking and obedience to His commandments. And they will help formulate what we do believe. What do we accept or not accept in our lives? And we know there are things that we definitely need to be careful of or to embrace, which you are right now. Please turn with me over to Matthew in the 12th chapter in the 34th verse. Now, I don't want to start out by addressing you as Jesus was addressing those at the time that He was speaking to here. Generation of vipers. No, I do not believe that any such thing. You come here in the name of Jesus Christ. But He was talking to a people there that needed that sort of addressing, your scribes, your Pharisees, and so on and so forth. And he definitely needed to address them in that manner, the way He saw it, the way He read their heart and mind, didn't He? Matthew 12:34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, and we know that there are people that we may come in contact with, they may say many things, and they may promise many things. But then, we see what they do. We see how their life is run. We see the decisions they make, and we know that it doesn't add up, don't we? We see those that are professing to be Christians. We see those that are professing to be believers in Christ. But once again, what do their actions prove? Where are their decisions lead them? Does God know this? You betcha He does. And so, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. You know, it has always been said that a person's word is their bond. Usually pretty close, you know, with, like he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. People can usually tell a pretty tall tale. Usually the real person comes out after a while. And especially, we watch the things that are done. We can tell, you know. That's Proverbs talks about that a good name is better than fine gold. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And so, you know, we can fool man, we can't fool God. We can never fool God. He knows. He knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts. So He knows what's in the abundance of our heart. He knows. Knows what we're thinking, knows what our feeling. Please turn with me over into the book of Romans in the 6th chapter. And we have a very powerful verse here also, or message to us, Romans 6:12. Romans 6:12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust there. Did you hear how he put that? That you would obey it in the lust. That way, you know, if we start embracing things that are sinful, they have a claim on us. They have a power upon us. And when we sin, that's why he says when you've broken one law, you've broken them all. Because our spiritual nature is departed away from the Lord. We're not walking in the Spirit when we're embracing sin. We're not walking in the Spirit. But neither yield. Okay? The word yield. Do you ever go to a four-way stop and there's some people that have to stop, and there's some people, you get to this intersection and it says yield or let go. Okay? In other words, make allowance for. Yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. And instruments are used in order to either work with something. A tool can be an instrument. An instrument can be something that even plays music. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. An instrument, or once again, maybe even a tool that is used of God in order to perform what God will in your life, that we may be fit for His use. But that starts, once again, with our way of thinking, our way of performing, our which, once again, is the root of our belief. Thinking about our love and our consecration to keeping the commandments of the Lord. For sin shall not have dominion over you, or power, or sovereignty, a pronouncement of power upon you. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Grace, I believe, synonymous with mercy, God's mercy. But you're under God's mercy, or grace. What then shall we sin, because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. So, because He has mercy, because He's given us time to obtain forgiveness and things, and because we don't have to perform a bunch of ordinances and things like they did in the old law, do we have the kind of freedom that allows us to do just anything we want? We know in our country, we have the liberty to go and to perform whatever it is that we want. Now, there are laws. And there are also many things that are lawful that we can do, but they're also very, very sinful. And the thing is, they also can cause a possession of our ways. They can cause a possession upon you because of their power. And something the Scripture talks about, I will not be brought under the power of any. And so he says, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience unto righteousness. Once again, think about being at that stop sign and you've yielded the right of way for someone else to go. You've let it go of your own free decision, didn't you? You yielded because you didn't, for whatever reasons. Your power of decision, you yielded the right of way. And so that's what we're kind of talking about here. God be thanked that you are the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness, free from sin, because sin is bondage. That's where the chains of bondage are. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, or our weakness. For as you have yielded yourselves servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Holiness is a very tall order. But in Jesus Christ we can be made enough, but we're living our lives by faithfulness unto sanctification through Jesus Christ. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Well, he talks about the way that it's put here, when you were the servants of sin, and when we fully embrace, you know, something such as sin, we are a servant of that sin. We obey it. We obey it in our whatever choice, because of whatever choice and whatever decision that we made. But what fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And it brings separation to God. And we know God knows that there are natural consequences. There are natural consequences when we obey sin and do things that are unrighteous before the Lord. They bring us unhappiness. They bring us a spiritual disconnection. And it can bring even physical death if practiced long enough or whatever. Sometimes it doesn't take that long. And especially spiritual death then is where it will lead. And so, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. And that's what we want. We want everlasting life. It's what Jesus promised us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That needs to be the very captain of our soul and our mode of making decisions. What we decide leads to action. So think about that. What we decide leads to action and leads the whole body. Usually what we do, what it so usually involves the motion of the whole body, doesn't it? And so what you decide, I can decide to stop this sermon right now and walk away. We can decide many things, but it leads to action and leads the whole body. It's how powerful, you know, our thoughts are. And the consecration to what you believe and where your faith is. We can have faith in many things. Please turn with me over into Matthew. We have a couple of verses. Matthew 6. That is why. You know, this where I was led to as well when I had that thought about leading the whole body. Jesus definitely, very importantly, knew this. The light of the body is the eye. And therefore, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? See, I'm talking about the things that we may look at, the things that we may want. We've got to be careful, even maybe the places that we go, the things that we embrace. And sometimes it's the friends that we keep, isn't it? There are crowds that will not lead us unto eternal life, but into darkness. Proverbs talks about that. Enter not into the path of the wicked. But if your eye, or what you're viewing, and what you're thinking, be full of light. And the things that we embrace, the things that we see, make a big difference. And I've got some things I want to show you here very shortly. Ephesians 4:27, if you'd like to turn with me. Ephesians 4:27. Just one short verse. Neither give place to the devil. Very short verse, but very powerful, isn't it? Do not give place to the devil. There are many things that he has created to parade before you. And he's trying very hard with you, but will you let that have its sway? Will you even enter into that type of path? Will you even take a look at it? Will you even embrace? Will you think about it? Will you try to decide whether it's right or wrong? Will you know that what he has dangled in front of you, right off, I should not be doing that. I should not be thinking that. I'm going to get away from that thought quickly. We have natural tendencies. We've got to be careful. And we can reject that and walk away. That God-given conscience and the Holy Spirit can direct and lead. Don't give place. Don't give a place for Him. Don't let Him open the door and crack the door. He'll open it wide open. And He'll have full sway in our lives. And so we find that the things that we can embrace and our thoughts and actions in James, the book of James, right after Hebrews, book of James in the first chapter, and one verse there, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. But why did I mention that? It's a strong emotion, isn't it? It's just one of many. There are many emotions that we can have, that we could do, but they're an emotion and they cloud our thinking, don't they? So if you're clouded with wrath, then your thoughts are there as well, aren't they? They will follow. And if your thoughts are there with the thing called wrath, it's certainly not going to work the righteousness of God. And if there are many sorts of ungodly thoughts and we know what they are. And when we start feeling things, we know that that's not a good place to be. That the Spirit of God can help draw us if we will listen to it, the leading of the Lord, because we know that that will not work the righteousness of God. But that starts with your thoughts, didn't it? That feeling went to your thoughts. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Our brain is on constant recording. What we put in matters. Is that true? Do you have a memory? They claim that the younger we are, that our short-term memory is better and our long-term memory is not. As we get older, they say that our short-term memory decreases, but our long-term memory increases. I remember things more and more about my childhood. They claim that's true. At least I think that's the way I remember it. But our brain is on constant recording. They say it's a matter of recall. When people have these memory exercises, they say it's a matter of teaching you about memory recall. There are things that you don't gain a better memory, things, associations, and whatever the matter. But our brain is on constant recording, and what we put in matters. Just like this sermon's on recording, and we have recordings, we have CDs, we have things like that. You play in your vehicles; it's recording. And if you put a CD in your exchanger that is the worst music and the worst bit of nonsense, you know, it's going to play in this, that, and the other. So it's playing back something that was pretty bad, wasn't it? That had been recorded. There's an old adage as you in the computer business, those who work with computers, they probably know this one. Garbage in, garbage out. Right? You've all heard that. And so, the things that we come in contact with and the things that prevail in our lives, if we've got bad things coming in, there's certainly an abundance of that what can be, there are things we can avoid, there are things and situations and conversations. We have a lot of mediums of media, you know, radio, television, movies, and so on and so forth. That's a lot, and so we've got to be careful even what we let prevail or what we choose to see. And should we be careful about what we choose to see and to look at and to embrace? You bet. You bet. There are things that you do not believe in. There are things that you would not ever allow. Then why would we want to watch them and not think that they would not make a dent or an impact on our spiritual life? Garbage in, garbage out. Our brain's on recording. How are we prepared to react in situations that arise? Do you ever think of that? Some people say, I have a short temper. That seems to be pretty common. But there are many situations that arise. Who do you think knows which buttons to push and which fuse is the shortest of yours? The old devil knows mine. But if I'm a spiritual person, I may have ways of dealing with that and maybe or turning away and walking away or whatever it takes that I may not let it take me away from my spiritual standing or my connection, if you will, with God. How are we prepared? Now, one thing is you are preparing yourself today by being in the congregation of the saints in worship or preparing. And we are constantly, we're tested. 2 Timothy, please turn with me, 2 Timothy 3. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we see how valuable. This is what the Apostle Paul was telling the young pastor Timothy. Paul knew young Timothy since he was a child. And he told him, he says, from a child you've known this. You've known the Scriptures is able to make you wise. But it is for inspiration, from inspiration of God and is profitable for you, for reproof, for correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we see how valuable that you need to adhere to God's Word, to hear it, to read it, to pray about it, to pray about the meaning of it, even in our prayers. Lord, can you give me the understanding of what I'm even reading? And you know something? You have something that others do not have that are not followers of Christ. You have that Holy Spirit that will lead you to understanding, to know. Jesus promised that. And we know that we have that. Thoroughly furnished. But the question is, we may say that we can control our thinking. And we hope to think that we can, but where's the basis for our foundation? What are you prepared for? How about these prepared to react in situations that arise? And they can come up quick. And knowing how to react to some of these things. Well, I've got a couple things that I wanted to bring forward. Should we control our influences? Okay? These are under commercials, possibly. But, you know, it could be where you're going to the restaurant and there are things you think you shouldn't be eating. Okay, fine. That's an influence. You know, maybe you walk into a McDonald's and the smell of McDonald's makes you crave. That's just as an example. I'm not saying that's bad, okay? But should we control our influence? This is a commercial these are some commercials, some things that are prevailing out there. The commercial industry, it's a multi-billion-dollar industry that is betting billions and billions of dollars that they can persuade you to go and to buy or to do. And they say it works. It's called marketing. It has very effective thing. And so, should we control our influences? You know, there are commercials that pop up that, boy, you know, maybe you better be faster on the button, or maybe we should have the TV off more often. Our brother talked about resolutions, maybe for our new year. Maybe that's one of them. Step away from the TV and into God's Word, that you may be a little more prepared. Where might we see something like this? Well, you know, possibly in between one of these. And that's probably only the lighter version of what you may see between one of those football games or the races or whatever the matter. Probably a hefty amount of alcohol commercials too. And they usually don't come with a clean venue. But these things, do they make a dent as God pleased that we may be involved in some of these things that we are viewing? Do we need to turn away or whatever we have to do? What about this guy? Okay, he's betting that dog food commercial that comes on, that they usually make it look so good on the commercial that you might want to eat it. That you might buy the brand that they're promoting. They're making it look like you could eat it. And that's what he's betting. That you won't eat it and you give it to him, of course. But see, that's the commercial industry. Even his food. You see. And you know that's true. You all remember the gravy tank commercial with the guy on the chuck wagon going through the kitchen. Trying to make it look good. And so on. And this is just a real commercial in itself. What about this guy? You've seen this guy. You know, he's become our friend, if you will, trying to sell you a brand new truck. Trying to make the vehicle you drive more than four tires that's reliable driving down the road, but it has to be a personal fit. It has to have allure to you, and it has to make you look even sensual, make you look tough, make you look wise, make you look smart. The color that you have needs to be popular. Oh, you know, orange is not in this month. You know, red is going to be coming in. Maybe that's the one that we need to get for this year. And trade in for the next most popular color or style interior. I'm in the automotive business, is what I've done for a living for many years. And you wouldn't believe the amount of changes that come to the machinery because of the engineering. Because they change this or that, the way they tuck the leather, the way it's styled, the lacing, so on, this, that, and the other, the way they cut the door, and they will spend thousands of dollars to change the tooling to fit what their change was because of engineering. And the engineering, they don't particularly care. They have a budget. And so you wonder how much, why your cars cost them what they do. Let me tell you a few stories. Or we could be involving ourselves in some of these war movies, fighting movies, and things like that, or videos. They say that the young man that was out east, that did that horrific act here a few weeks ago at that school, was involved in videos, reality videos. They were involved in taking life. We've seen that more and more often. They do have an influence. They have a big influence. And so are we ever not in control, we might say, about the things that we do? Are you ever involved in any of those things, this young fellow driving? I'm just picking this as an instance. Are we ever distracted in some of our things? That just came to mind is all. Not picking on anybody here and so on. But this can happen in life in general. As we're cruising through life, not particularly in our car even. And I'm not saying that it has to do with texting, but this fellow's texting, plus drinking his coffee and has his phone on his ear. Can't hear, can't see, and can't think about what, and keeping his hand on the wheel. Jesus told us in the book of Luke, he said, no man having putting his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom. Meaning he wants us to try to be what? Maybe more pure in heart with our beliefs, our actions, and our deeds. I found this other message, you might even find humorous. And not just one I found, this just more for than humor than anything. Honk if you love Jesus, text while driving if you want to meet him. And when I pulled off some of those things, there were some things that weren't so pleasant being true. And that's why I'm trying to outlaw that, of course, too. But see how distractive. But the devil's devices in many other things are trying to pry open your thought patterns. To come to accept things that we wouldn't ordinarily do. And maybe possibly break commandments that we know are sacred. But that's how he works. That is how He works. So trying to control maybe our influences or the things that we need to turn away from, and being prepared as God would have us to be in our lives, because we're going to have many situations that we have to confront. And we want to know, we want to be confronted with in the right way, lovingly. We can sometimes do the right thing, but in the wrong way. Taking a hammer when we should be using the balm, if you will, or soft touch. But God's wisdom and God's Spirit will help prevail if we are closer to Him in our ways. Please turn with me over into Hebrews. I just have a couple of scriptures here. Hebrews in the 4th chapter, in the 12th verse. Talking of God's Word, of course, and how powerful it is. And knowing it. You know, make a time. Make a time. You know, maybe what I was talking about was maybe some of these commercials and things like that, maybe they're also showing us to be a little bit more wiser with our time, spending less time in front of the TV. And maybe a little more time in the Word of God. Being a little bit more gauging of the places that we do spend our time. Are they fruitful to our spiritual life? For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of what? Thoughts and intents of the heart. As we read God's Word, it can lead us to think, to reason, to decide, to hold things in importance, to know what is true and what is not true, what is a lie and what not is not a lie. It's a discerner. And I always talk about spiritual discernment. We want that spiritual way of thinking, spiritual way of deciding what we need. The discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Please turn with me over into 2 Timothy 2 and 20. And of course, we've read this scripture before. I'd like to read a couple of verses here. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver and of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. So that's really talking about different... Maybe there may be sin in this. There may be essentials to our spiritual life, and there are things that are not salvation issues that we got to watch. We don't maybe even... quibble over or to argue back and forth is not of God, we know. And that's what they used to do, was argue about the old law all the time. And they're so worried about the letter of the old law that it caused their spirit and heart and faith to leave. And that's why Jesus called those of the old hierarchy of the priesthood whited sepulchres. There was no spirit and faith and love in them. But they loved the greetings in the streets. They loved to tell people they were fasting or showing they were fasting. Well, hey, look, I just put some money in over here. Do you see how much I just put in? But are we a vessel to honor? If a man purge himself from these, or look to what is true and steadfast, and what is rock solid, and that's of the Scriptures, and our, God's Spirit will help us to know how to perform and decide and to live our life in Jesus Christ. If we purge ourselves from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Hey, do we want to be prepared unto every good work? You betcha. It's exactly what we would like to be. And so flee also youthful lusts. Now, it doesn't matter whether we're the youngest of us or the more seasoned among us. We could also have youthful lusts that we got to be careful about. You know? God warned us about that. Sometimes people have to tell me, Adam, quit acting like a kid, act your age. Well, you know, I have to behave myself. The youngest of us need to behave ourselves. You know? And it doesn't matter how old we may be. God wants us, in a shortened version, He just wants us to behave ourselves the way He would want us to be. But flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Like Jesus talked about, blessed are the pure in heart. We're trying to call unto Him out of that pure heart. Let's turn for a moment into Proverbs. I believe it's this one. I think there's one other here as well. But my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear to wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Now there he's talking about understanding. What did that have to do with? That had to do with your thinking. That had to do with your thoughts, which leads to your beliefs. A lot of times, the Lord will refer to your heart, you know, as a matter of understanding and feeling and things like that. And a lot of times when we, as touching moments, or many times we have great feeling, we feel it maybe right here in our bosom, don't we? But that's because of the nerve receptors in the brain, you know, they're telling us. But we seem to feel it right there. God knew that. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if you seek her as for silver, search for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, preserveth the way of his saints. That's one thing that stood to me and drawed me to this very scripture. He preserveth the way of his saints. There are things that go on in our lives because of the knowledge of Jesus Christ and belief and faith and commitment to him that is helping to preserve. It's trying to preserve. You know, we were at a conversation the other day about the armor of God. Why is it did he describe everything as a piece of armor that it's this sword, this shield, this helmet, this buckler, and all these things, because it's to protect the precious jewel, the saint, underneath. God's own child is what he's trying to protect. Preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. We can leave that when we don't want to listen to God's direction. There are many things we'd like to decide for even for ourselves. And we know that we should have approached the Lord. I know I have every capability of following things up if I try to run ahead of the Lord. We've got to be careful we don't run faster than the Lord gives us strength to go. Because all has to do, once again, with our thought. Because we were given God-given intellect, and there's nothing more complex than the brain. They're trying to figure it out. But God has given that to us, and He wants to care for it. He'll be in command of our reasoning and thinking skills, and it will also help with spiritual wisdom. With that marvelous gift that he's given you for thinking, reasoning, and that the world's greatest supercomputer right here. There's one other thing I would like to bring to us today. In the 8th chapter, you see here now. Yes. 26 through 28. God, does He know our thoughts? Does He know our what we're thinking? Does He know what we're praying? And we look at the purpose and the plan of the Holy Spirit. that even as we are praying here this day, even you're in your closet, as you are praying, you know, and you are reaching out to God with your thoughts, your prayers, there are times when we are swept in emotion and don't maybe even know quite how we want to put something. Do you ever have that time? Here's something that talks about it. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And you are called according to His purpose. And His word will not return unto Him void when it has accomplished your very soul and what is sunk deep in your heart and mind. I thank you for your love and for your prayers and for your time this very morning.